backpack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Friday, August 2nd, first IPA Friday of August. I'm not mad. Preseason action in the hopper already. Hall of Fame game. I mean, about what we expected, right? And yeah, by the way, I'm Jeff, and this is The Rant. And today we're heading to my neck of the woods. We're going to talk some Pennsylvania teams here. So we got the Eagles and Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll do some email and voicemail later in the show as well. I did see a bunch of people taking me up on this. I'm going to keep mentioning it for right now because we still have a couple weeks till a lot of us are doing our drafts in backyards. But if you're an old school drafter, you use an actual draft board. I know there are a couple sites out there that you like get a draft board with. It comes with stickers and everything, but there are a couple of them that are not very good. I'm not going to name any names. So I always use FJFantasy.com. It's just a clean, classic-looking board, multicolored stickers by position. If you play in like IDP, you can get extra stickers for that. They have a couple other fun things that you can add too. But it's just a straightforward, awesome product. I've been using it forever, and they did give me a promo code for you to get a 10% discount. So use the promo code RATCLIFF, not RATPACK, RATCLIFF, R-A-T-C-L-I-F-F-E, 10% off on FJFantasy.com. Like I said, I stand by the product. I use it personally. It's not a crappy product. It's a really awesome, top-notch product. So go check that out if you need a draft board for this year. All right, let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. So last year was interesting. They started out pretty good, but they definitely faltered down the stretch. Now, I'm not of the mindset that it was the offense's fault. If you actually go back and look, I don't think the offense was terrible. Now, it was a little bit vanilla, and that came down to the play caller, who obviously Brian Johnson doesn't have his job anymore. But the defense was bad. Like, that secondary, it's not a coincidence that they hammered secondary in the draft. The secondary was a complete liability last year for Philadelphia. So I'm not going to pin this all on the Eagles' offense. But obviously, they made the change. They now have Kellen Moore in place. We saw him with the Chargers. We saw him with Dallas. Moore was at one point kind of hyped up as a potential future head coach. Like, that could still happen, but he's not really in those conversations right now when the coaching hires come up. So he's got a chance to prove himself here. This at one point was being called 95% new, which, that's scary. That's really scary if that was really true. That was from Jalen Hurts. He's since walked that comment back. And there is going to be elements of what Sirianni likes to do with this offense. So I don't think it's 95%, but there's going to be a lot of new looks there. And ideally, hopefully they just lean into what these guys do well. You know, you have a excellent, like fantastic running quarterback in Jalen Hurts coming off a 15 touchdown season the year before that, 13 rushing touchdowns the year before that, 10 rushing touchdowns. And he's not that bad of a passer. Now, I don't think he's ever going to threaten 5,000 yards. Like, that'd be a surprise. But could he top 4,000 yards this year? Sure. He was close last year, 38-58. He had 23 passing touchdowns. So, like, yeah, 30 might be a ceiling. I wouldn't expect 30, but that's like a ceiling range for him. But really, he's a Konami Code quarterback. He is a guy who puts up so many points with his legs that he's going to be in the elite conversation annually as long as he's doing what he's doing. And I don't think that's changing this year. Now, I'll talk about Saquon and the impact in goal line situations in a moment, but you know if they get to the one, Tush Push is still going to be a part of this offense. Like, he's going to score a lot of touchdowns that way. So Jalen Hurts, if he's not your number one fantasy quarterback, he's your number two. I am number two right now, but it's like been back and forth between him and Josh Allen. If you've listened to this entire series, you already know what I'm going to say. If you're just kind of coming into the fold right now, I don't draft elite quarterbacks. They go way too early. In Superflex, they go too early for my liking. And in one quarterback, they go way too early for my liking. So I probably won't end up with any of Jalen Hurts. Now, good news for me, I have a Superflex keeper league where I picked him up at the end of his rookie season, and I've been keeping him ever since. So I at least will have one share of him in non-dynasty. But that's it. That's it. He goes too early. But you can tap into him, obviously, with the receivers. You have A.J. Brown. You have Devontae Smith. And the team wisely locked both of these guys in. Like, you know, sometimes people will say Batman and Robin, but I always kind of feel bad for the person who's Robin. You know, this is Batman and Batman. This is swole Batman and skinny Batman. Like, there's no Batman and Robin here with these two. A.J. Brown is a monster. He's coming off a near 1,500-yard season, which he followed a near 1,500-yard season. He had 1,496 in 2022. Last year, he had 1,456. The catch volume went up last year. The touchdown volume went down a little bit, but he's obviously a top 10. I met wide receiver six, so you're probably going to need to be around about the back half of the first round to really get a sniff at him. And if not, you know, you're not going to roster him. Now, the possibilities for Devontae Smith are a little bit more wide open. Like, he's easier to land in fantasy drafts, obviously, than A.J. Brown. And he offers arguably just as high a ceiling, though I would say week to week, there's a little bit more volatility with Devontae Smith. I have him at wide receiver 21. So right now, you're looking at probably around about third round is where he's coming off the board. Every draft's going to be different, but that's about the range. After that, there's really nobody. Like, there, yes, they brought in Paris Campbell. Okay, we'll see if he ends up starting. They drafted Aeneas Smith, who possibly could play slot for them for the long term. I don't know what he's going to do in his rookie season, though. And then they have Johnny Wilson. I initially thought maybe Johnny Wilson could be a tight end, but he's a big boy out of Florida State, but they insisted he's going to stay at wide receiver. So maybe a red zone presence for him, but really it's Brown and Smith and then everybody else, because you also have a very capable pass-catching tight end in Dallas Goedert. Now, there's one major knock that I have on Dallas Goedert, and this is the reason why he's not in my wheelhouse group this year. He's not a touchdown producer. He's never had more than five touchdowns in any of his NFL seasons. He doesn't get looks in the red zone. Last year, he had three end zone targets. That's it. And this isn't like Jalen Hurts doesn't throw to the end zone. He threw the end zone 34 times in 17 games last year, which is exactly like the number that I want to see. I want to see at least that number or better, two per game or better. So Goedert, three last year in 14 games. In 12 games in 2022, he had two end zone targets. And in 15 games in 2021, he had two end zone targets. He's not a red zone asset. So that's going to cap his fantasy value. And he's kind of going in my tight end dead zone range, which is after the wheelhouse is dried up. That's when he comes off the board. I'll let somebody else take him. Like, I took him in Scott Fishbowl because I know somebody's going to be like, well, I thought you took him there. Yeah, I took him there because I waited at tight end a little bit longer because I knew they were going to go early. And I hammered wide receiver like bananas at wide receiver in Scott Fishbowl. By the way, burying the lead, Saquon Barkley is now a Philadelphia Eagle coming over from the rival Giants. He is he's a bit of a unicorn, a bit of a one-of-one type. You don't see really, I mean, I would say today's NFL, but you just don't see commonly a guy who's 6 foot, 233, can run between the tackles, has inside-out ability. And when I say that, I mean he can run between the tackles to the second level and then bounce outside. He's not bouncing outside before the tackles, before he gets through the hole. Second level, bounce outside, and has the speed to take it to the house. And how many times have we seen that? But not only that with Saquon Barkley, he is one of the best pass-catching running backs of his generation. Now, I realize he only had 41 catches last year, but he's more than capable of 50-plus. In fact, he did 50-plus in 2022. Easily. He is a 300-plus touch guy. He is in an offense that is very friendly and favorable to his skill set. Good offensive line. Yeah, Kelsey's not there, but this is still a pretty darn good offensive line. Now, the one question is goal line work. Like, in 2022, he had 15 goal line carries. Averaging roughly one per game is very good. Now, Jalen Hurts is the goal line back. He has been, at least in recent seasons. So it maybe puts a little bit of a damper on both of these guys. Like, maybe Hurts isn't, well, 15 is an insane number for quarterbacks, but he could threaten double digit touchdowns. Saquon certainly could as well, but Saquon also has the added ability of being able to take a catch to the house. He had four receiving touchdowns on 41 catches last year. Saquon's top six. I've seen some people get quite aggressive on Saquon. I'm putting him here for a reason because, yeah, there are a few caps on him because of the presence of Jalen Hurts. Still like him a lot. Still, obviously, if he's not a back-end first-round guy for me, then he's a front-end second-round guy. I just feel like his draft perception is a little bit higher than my draft reality for him, so he's probably going before I'm willing to take him. That's all right. That happens. Now, he doesn't have a true handcuff. Like, Will Shipley's getting work, but Will Shipley's really a passing down back. But then Kenny Gainwell is also really just a passing down back. So there isn't a true handcuffing situation. I think if Barkley went down, they would be in a spot where Shipley, Gainwell, and then whoever they have on the practice squad, it could be Milton. We'll see how they end up navigating things after roster cutdown. Maybe it's Ty Davis Price, but Kendall Milton from Georgia, he's a big boy and could see him as being an early down guy. Like if Saquon went down with an injury, he could get some work, but there's no true handcuff there. And that's no guarantee. Like he may not even make the practice squad. We'll see. All right, let's move over to Pittsburgh. Well, what a difference a year makes. All the quarterbacks, the entire quarterback room is different. They're all the previous guys from last year are gone, including Kenny Pickett, who is in Philly and now is the backup there. They got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, which this time last year, if you would have told me both those guys would be on the Steelers, I'd be like, you're crazy, man. I like you, but you're crazy. There's no way, right? And not only that, they're not paying them like anything. Fields is still on a rookie deal. Russell Wilson, most of his salary is being paid by the Denver Broncos. And it's basically a one-year trial on both of these guys. Now, as of now, Wilson looks like he is going to be the starter. There's no guarantee he keeps that job through the whole season. So a couple things. Like first and foremost, I only want Wilson in best ball. If I drafted Pickens, then I'll stack him with Wilson at the very end. I have no clear picture of him in one quarterback league, so he'll be a player to monitor. And then in Superflex, I mean, maybe if you kind of get screwed, you could take him as your third. But that's it. So let's move over to Fields, another player to monitor. I don't even know if he starts this year. Like Wilson is still ahead of him. He missed some time in camp, but he's back in there now. He's still ahead of him, like far ahead of him. And Fields was traded for what he was traded for a reason. So if I have him in Dynasty, what's my response? Well, my response is hold and pray that he gets back to a starting position. And then even if I'm panicky at that point, that's when I would move off of him. But his value could not be any lower than it is right now. In Dynasty, this isn't the time for me to sell him. As I mentioned, Russ has some weapons at his disposal, but Deontay Johnson is also out of the mix, which is weird here. You have George Pickens. You have not much beyond him. So translation, that's really good for George Pickens. He's going to have to do it on the field, but there's very minimal competition for targets. He's coming off a 63-catch season. He went for 1140 and had 106 targets. Good after catch, can play downfield. Russ has a nice deep ball too. So I actually really dig Pickens. He is not a safe draft pick. Like if you're looking for safe, which is not what I look for, but if you're looking for safe, he's not safe. Right now I've been floating between like wide receiver 25 and wide receiver 30. I'm at the very bottom end of that right now. That could change as we move forward here through the preseason, but not too shabby. And you get him, you know, at a reasonable price point right now. He's definitely available. So the other player that we have to throw to would be Pat Freiermuth. Now, Pat Freiermuth did have the big touchdown season in 2021. He had 7 touchdowns. Then he followed that up with 63 for 732, but only 2 touchdowns. Last year, battled some injuries, wasn't a great year all around for the passing game. But apparently, he's got a good connection with Russell Wilson. So, you know, if you whiff at tight end and you want to go late round, I don't hate Freiermuth. I've been using him more as a best ball asset, but it wouldn't surprise me if he came out there and was like borderline top 12. Like, that's basically where I have him ranked anyway. But really, if I'm going to get a piece of this passing game, I want it to be Pickens primarily. I also forgot to mention that Arthur Smith is here, and I'm not the type who's going to crap all over Arthur Smith. I actually think Arthur Smith is a good offensive coordinator. I just didn't think he was a good head coach. And he was also, the deck was stacked against him with no quarterback. What did he do last year? He used Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Well, we have Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, and that's not bad at all. That is not bad at all here. If you had to choose one, I know a lot of people would probably kind of spite pick Jaylen Warren, but I still like Najee Harris. I actually think he's been really underrated just from a football standpoint over the course of his career. 1,000 yards, all 3 seasons. 17 games played, all 3 seasons. Rushing touchdowns, 7, 7, and 8. He had 10 total touchdowns in his first 2 years, 8 last year. Like, he's not bad. He's just not amazing. And you're getting him in that hero RB, zero RB range, like when you get into the 7th round. If Najee Harris is there, that's, you know, he's the top guy on my board at running back. That's easy for me. Now, I'm not going to shy away from Jaylen Warren. And if I get, by the way, this goes to A.J. Brown. If I get A.J. Brown, I'm not taking, I'm not taking Devontae Smith. Or if I get Saquon, I'm not taking either of those guys. It would be really hard to get Saquon and A.J. Brown, but it would be easy to get Saquon and Devontae Smith. or AJ and Devontae Smith, and I'm not doing that. Well, if I get Najee Harris, I'm definitely not taking Jaylen Warren, but I'm not going to shy away from Jaylen Warren coming off of 149 carries last year, 61 catches, such a good pass catching back. I expect Arthur Smith to leverage that this season. So I'm totally fine with Warren as a top 30. So I have Harris at RB 22, Warren at RB 29. So Harris is more towards the front of that hero zero RB range. Warren is closer to the back, but both of them are viable in that range of running backs. All right, let's move on and let's get into some of your emails. We'll kick it off with Jason here. So Jason said he's seen many movies in his life. That's awesome, Jason. He said he can confidently say it wasn't a bad Borat impression, but rather a good 21 Jump Street impression. I haven't seen that movie, so I don't get it. Anyway, he says, moving on, he's been running his version of a farm league. He's making a reference to one of my home leagues if you're just coming into this podcast. He said every year he makes it to the playoffs, but has never won the championship. He is like the Dallas Cowboys of fantasy football, and he hates it. He said he's only listening to this show, and he's hoping that the podcast is the special sauce that he's been missing. I don't think it is. I'll be honest. I don't think it is. That'd be great and all, but it's not real. Like, I think the problem likely is the rosters you build. I would take a long look at it. Like, are you somebody who has to draft a couple running backs in the first couple rounds? Are you one of those folks who thinks that there's so much wide receiver depth, therefore you can wait at the position? Do you draft a quarterback early or in the middle rounds? What are you doing at tight end? Like, look at roster construction and then consider, how do you make start sit decisions? Are you shooting from the hip every single week? Are you using rankings to do so? Are you somebody who feels like they have to trade all the time? Like, it probably comes down to a few of those types of things. So hopefully we can help you there, but I'm not going to be a special sauce per se. Like, ultimately it comes down to you. But I would say for starters, like, yeah, take a look at what you do in drafts, and that you're setting the foundation for the season. So that could potentially be what's going on. All right, Jacob checking in. Best ball roster layout. He said, in a 20 round best ball draft, do I shoot for a specific roster layout? Do I take three quarterbacks, three tight ends, same amount of running backs and wide receivers? Depends on the build. A bunch of questions here. He says he's just curious. Well, I will tell you this. I found over the years that I really prefer three and three at quarterback and tight end. I will rarely do anything other than that. So how do I decide on my quarterbacks? My quarterbacks will be decided essentially largely by the wideouts I take early. Like, so if I take... let's say I take Ja'Marr Chase, I am going to prioritize trying to get a Joe Burrow stack. Like, I'm not drafting Joe Burrow really any other way. Maybe if I have T. Higgins, but usually it's like the higher end guys. If I get DJ Moore, then I want a Caleb Williams stack. Like, if I get Terry McLaurin, and I'm not drafting those guys that early, but still they're in the earlier rounds, right? If I get Terry McLaurin, I want a Jaden Daniels stack. If I get George Pickens, I want a Russell Wilson stack, and so on. But I do like to have three, and then three tight ends, and I barely have any Laporta. I think I have a Laporta on like two rosters right now I'm a well over 50, because I'm usually waiting. Cause honestly, if I get three middle to late round tight ends, all I want is one of them to score a touchdown each week, which is still a lot to ask out of a tight end, but I'm trying to diversify myself there. I do want more wideouts than running backs. So with 20 rounds, I usually end up with five running backs. So what is that, like nine wide receivers? Yeah, nine wide receivers. That's usually what I end up. Now, Underdog is 18 rounds. So there it's either four or five running backs. It really depends. In roster building, but usually it's pretty tight. I try to keep the rosters very similar, at least in terms of my distribution across the positions. And my goal then is, you know, stacking, game stacking, obviously controlling my exposure to players, etc. Ashley checking in saying, good day from Australia. Yo, we got Australian listeners. That's pretty dope right there. He is from Perth, Australia. He said he's a big fan. I appreciate that. I love the Aussies know what's up, man. The Aussies get this thing. He said, question regarding taking players from the same team. He said he understands the idea of not taking two receivers from the same team, but the question is about other positions. So if he's drafting a pick 10 in a 10-team league and he's punting a second running back spot, he can get DJ Moore as his third receiver. And then if he swings back around 7th, 8th, if Swift is there, would you still take him? Me, no. I wouldn't. But I'm not saying necessarily you shouldn't. But the reason why I'm doing that in a redraft league, by the way, if it was best ball, oh yeah, I would be taking Swift there. But best ball is different because that's a team stack. Here, I'm not concerned with stacking. And in fact, I'd like to diversify my roster. You know, the simple fact of the matter is that in most instances, if a wide receiver has a big game, the running back on the team doesn't. Now, it's not 100% of the time. And I know we can point out several examples where it does happen, but fantasy football is really a game of probabilities. And in this instance here, your probability of both players hitting in the same game isn't that high. And you may have to be starting both of those guys in your roster. So I don't like to overload on teams. I would actually move away from Swift if I did draft DJ Moore there. Again, it's a very different strategy than best ball. All right, let me move to the next one. Daniel, he said, it is a question worth an answer. That's a good title right there. So he's a longtime listener. He said he's been around since 2016. He said, when did PFF start? Yeah, a little bit further back than that. I was at PFF starting in 2010, but nobody was paying attention to me. Heck, nobody was paying attention to me now, much less in 2016. But yeah, went back for a long time. He said he's been around for every iteration of the podcast. Were you listening to the IDP podcast that I did in like 2012? There's no way. Like nobody listened to that thing. It was called The Nickel. That's so funny. Anyway, he said he's hoping that I'll answer the question despite my clear disdain for keeper questions. That's not true. Like I think people just keep, I'm so misunderstood, man. I'm so misunderstood. So I don't hate keeper questions at all, but I am here really not to play your roster, right? I'm here. The whole reason why I do this, and it, I mean, maybe my background has led to this. Like I was a coach. I was a professor. Like I'm here to help people get better, right? And that's what I do in this job. So it's not that I don't like keeper questions. A, I don't see the point of a keeper question in like May or June because there's so much that can happen before we need to make the decision. So instead, I would rather be fully prepared to make the decision. Like I have a keeper decision in a couple weeks. I'm not even thinking about it right now. I'll think about it probably the day of. And then make the decision and, you know, I'll be fully prepared for it. And then I also want to teach you how to make the decision, which I did in the keeper strategy article over at ftnfantasy.com. The strategy part is free. The keeper value chart is paywalled. So promo code RATPACK for 10% off. But anyway, he said it's 12 teamer, pretty standard roster settings. They do have an extra flex spot. I like that. And you can keep two players the round they were drafted in the previous year. He has decided on his keepers, Brees and Devon Achane. They're the best values. Okay, cool. No issue there. He said he ended up with back-to-back round one picks this year. Highest players on his board when the picks come around are all running backs. He's got Jonathan Taylor, Gibbs, Saquon, since his league is typically wide receiver heavy. How far are you willing to reach for a wide receiver? Okay, so let's set the table here. This is not how I would be valuing Jonathan Taylor, Gibbs, or Saquon Barkley. I am moving their value down the board to outside because if you're keeping Brees, guess what? You're starting the draft. And for me, if this was me, I'm starting the draft in the dead zone. So that means there's no viable running backs for me in that range. And that's fine because I have Brees. And then you also have Devon Achane. Cool. So it's not a reach to take the top wide receiver on my board at all. I'm taking him at value. So I don't, you know, we're not reaching here. And anybody, he used it in quotation marks. So I know the whole idea of reaching, like I'm very anti-reaching. I don't like to overpay for things, but this wouldn't be overpaying for whoever the top wide receiver is on the board. So there's that. He said, as a fellow IPA lover, this is a PS here. He needs to know if I've tried Treehouse. Yeah, I have. Last summer I had a beer mule. My friend went out there. And he came home with cases of Treehouse and we basically like split it 50-50. And I drank Treehouse pretty much all August and September. It was pretty awesome. There was a little bit of Trillium mixed in there too. And then plus I was still buying stuff because I have a problem. So I was getting some of the local stuff around here. But yeah, no doubt, Daniel. All right, let me do at least one more here. Brant checking in. He said, thank you for answering his question on the pod. Right on. He said it was exactly what he needed. He is trying to subscribe and the promo code Rat Pack is coming up invalid. I think you were trying to subscribe to Core and for some reason it wasn't working with Core, but I already talked to those guys behind the scenes. So it works with the Core subscription and the Fantasy Plus subscription. I recommend Fantasy Plus because you get more with it, but if you just want the rankings, you get that with Core. So it should work now, Brant. Let's do Eric real quick. He said 10 team league cheat sheet. He is an FTN member. So happy the rant is back up. Yeah, me too. I'm happy that everybody is happy. Like, again, I said this yesterday, but it's super humbling and it's just awesome. It's awesome. So he said 12 team league and a 10 team league. He's in both. Do I have any suggestions on how you can modify the cheat sheet? Well, I don't know which cheat sheet you're using. He said breaking the rounds into 10 instead of 12. So it sounds like you're using one of the draft boards. I don't know which one, but I said this yesterday on the podcast. It really doesn't matter. Don't take the rounds literally. You could just call them tiers, you know, instead of rounds. Because I think people take the rounds literally and then they think that that's where I'm saying these players should be drafted. No, it's just a way of spatially orienting yourself on one sheet of paper, all the players. You know, kind of, I know the NFL doesn't do it exactly that way, but that was the genesis. Like, I want to have a draft board like NFL draft boards. And I viewed it that way, but it doesn't have to be round one, round two, round three. You could just do it tiers. And so therefore, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's nine players in the round, 10, 11, 12, 13. It doesn't matter. It's just spatially, that's how they're oriented. So you can use the exact same board regardless of how many teams are in your league. I actually do that. I'm in both of my main home leagues are 10 team. All the industry leagues I'm in are 12 team or 14 team, but I still use the same board for all of them. You know, it really doesn't matter. So hopefully that's helpful to you there. One more. I know I keep saying one more, but this one is a good one. Best ball backup quarterbacks. I do not want backup quarterbacks in best ball. I will tell you that right now. And I have a sense of where this is going. So here you go. It's from Jacob. He says, is it worth taking an NFL backup as a third quarterback in best ball? Example, take Russell Wilson and Fields, take Flacco if you have Richardson, take Jameis if you have Watson, and so on. No, I would rather have a third quarterback stacked. Like, I'd rather plant a flag on Russell Wilson and just say, he's my third quarterback and that's fine. Like, I'm going to plant the flag. I hope that he is the starter for the whole season, acknowledging that may not be the case, but I'd rather do that than waste a roster spot, because that's really what you're doing there on two guys. Like, I realize Richardson could get hurt, and sure, Flacco could be this like league winner, right? I'm okay with not having that happen. I'd rather have, if I drafted Richardson, I want two other guys who I view as players who can start the whole season on my roster, not a backup quarterback. And, you know, round 20 tells me you're probably, that's like DraftKings, like some of the other ones, it's not underdog. I primarily play on underdog, so I don't even have the roster spots to pull it off. But no, I still want three. If I'm going to take a guy in round 20 with some juice, maybe it's like a deep wide receiver or something like that. But good question, Jacob. So if you want to email me, the email is therantpodjr@gmail.com. I want to get into voicemails as well, because you guys keep calling, man. You keep calling. So let's get into the first voicemail.
Hey, Hefe. Quick keeper question. I've had some great success deploying the punt RB2 strategy the last few seasons. This year, my keeper is Isaiah Pacheco, and he falls in the running back dead zone period of the draft, so I would be keeping him the sixth round. This round, I would obviously normally hammer wide receiver or tight end. And given the circumstances, I wanted to know what you would do if you were me. Would you either extend the dead zone period by a round and start picking up RB2s in the eighth round as opposed to the seventh, or would you draft a wide receiver in the first round, no matter what, even if the next best available player in the rankings happens to be a running back? That way you start your draft wide receiver, making Pacheco my RB2.
So yeah, I got you here. You landed an anchor running back. Like, one thing I think maybe a good way of thinking about keepers, like, keepers are just draft picks you make before the draft, right? So you drafted with a keeper here, an anchor. Therefore, since you drafted an anchor, when I have an anchor, what happens to the rest of the running backs on my board is they all move to a round seven value or later. If I already have a later value on them, then that just stays, obviously. But somebody like Aaron Jones, he is a seventh round value. If for some reason Derrick Henry wasn't kept, he is a seventh round value. I don't expect them to be there in the seventh round, but I'm not looking at them. That's the point. So I would have to imagine a wide receiver is the top guy on my board. And yeah, I'm basically now I'm already in pun RB2 territory because I took an anchor. Now, you get him in the sixth round, which is nice, but it doesn't really change the equation. Like, you're still now in, you know, hero RB, pun RB2, whatever you want to call it, territory. So that's how I would go with it. All right, let's move on to the next voicemail.
Hello, Mr. Jeffrey. What's going on, man? I'll make this short and sweet. You know, great to have you back, but enough people have said that already. You know it's great for you to be back. Or not been back, came back, whatever. Here's the deal. My question specifically is about Evan Ingram. Why has the entire fantasy industry basically just completely written off what Evan Ingram did last year? I think either overall tight end two or two per game, PPR or whatever, extremely high, right? Top three finish. I get some of the variables, but for him to just basically be an afterthought or probably what, low in your tight end wheelhouse rankings, why is a lot of the industry just completely poo-pooing a guy who is on an offense that should continue to take a at least marginal step in the right direction? A quarterback, Trevor Lewis, who I think has more to his game that can be shown. What's the deal? I mean, he's always been relatively productive going back to his really good rookie season. It just seems a little disingenuous that he has just completely dropped like a rock into oblivion, if you will, after last season. What gives? Thanks.
I think there's a couple of things here. I mean, first and foremost, we have to contextualize this rookie season. Odell, nobody was playing. He was the only pass catcher for Eli Manning that year. So we'll a little bit of an anomalous year. Then he was sort of plateaued for a long time. But first and foremost, I can't speak for the industry. And I can speak for myself. And I don't think ranking a guy at tight end eight is completely writing him off. I have him ranked essentially where he's going in ADP, so that a lot of fantasy drafters are endorsing him in the same range. Some people are a little bit ahead on Evan Ingram, and that's fine because ultimately you're going to set your own board. It sounds like you have your take on him. The reason why I'm not particularly high on him is he has no touchdown upside. You know, he has a max of six touchdowns, and it's not like he's played one season. He's played seven seasons, career high of six. Here's what he has done since that. That was his rookie season. 3-3-1-3-4-4. And the problem with tight end is the 3-for-32 scenario. Like, if you have 3-for-32, that's 6.2 points in a PPR. If you have 3-for-32 and a touchdown, that's 12.2 points in a PPR. The touchdowns matter. And yes, last year was great from a volume standpoint. I do not think that volume persists this year because this year the team brought in, you know, they brought in Gabe Davis, they brought in Brian Thomas, they have Christian Kirk, who was, you know, somewhat light last year or lighter last year than what we were used to. I just don't see 143 targets for him. Like, that was a career year, and they don't call it a career year because it happens every year. And it's great for him, and it was great last year, but I'm not going to chase last year's numbers. This is a game about projecting forward, and projecting forward, his ceiling doesn't match the guys in the wheelhouse. It doesn't match Trey McBride. It doesn't match Dalton Kincaid. It doesn't match Mark Andrews. It doesn't match Kyle Pitts. It doesn't match George Kittle. He's right behind them. And, you know, yeah, that's round eight. Now, I don't want to draft him, and I don't want to draft a tight end in that range. Usually, like, those guys are just not on my board. Projecting wise, just doesn't have the ceiling that I'm looking for at the position. If I'm going to draft a tight end in the middle rounds, I really want bang for my buck, and I'm not quite seeing that out of Evan Ingram. So I think it's a mischaracterization. But ultimately, the most important point here is, if that's where you have him, then, you know, if you have him higher, then put him higher. You know, it's your board. You don't have to do what some fantasy analyst, some ding dong with a microphone like me, is saying. In fact, I really strongly encourage people to not just take what I am saying blindly and then use it. Like, that doesn't make you a better player. So what makes you a better player is independently doing some analysis and setting up your own boards. Like, and part of the analysis, of course, is listening to pods and things like that, listening to SiriusXM, reading articles at ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. But ultimately, you have to establish your own take, and it sounds like you have that. So roll with it. All right, one last voicemail. Let's do it.
Hey, Jeff. Quick question. I was on a certain website today. I'm not going to name names or anything, just, you know, hopefully so you can answer the question. Big company. Big website, I'm sure everyone could kind of assume. Anyways, their top 300 PPR rankings, I took a look, a gander, and 1, 2, and 3 is McCaffrey, Breece, and Bijan. And I tried to do a mock draft on this particular website, and 1, 2, and 3 is McCaffrey, Breece, and Bijan. So just wondering your take on that. I mean, like, for example, I have 8th pick out of 12 PPR, and we're actually drafting on this site, and, you know, when I got the pick, I was like, oh, hell yeah. You know, Bijan's going to fall to me, kind of at his value. But now I don't think that's the case. So just want to know your take on that. And thank you for pumping these podcasts out almost every day. We appreciate it.
I mean, you could just say the name. It's ESPN. I mean, okay. And a lot of your opponents are going to use ESPN rankings. This looks like it's Mike's, my former colleague at ESPN. He is at ESPN. We were together at PFF, Mike Clay. And he has McCaffrey, Breece Hall, and Bijan Robinson. Okay. He is establishing his overall rankings based on value over replacement. That's exactly how I do it as well. Now, his replacement, he is suggesting that those guys are that much more valuable than the replacement player that you can get at running back than what you can do at wide receiver. That's his perspective, right? My perspective is different. I don't have him that way. And that's fine. You know, Mike is very sharp. I can assure you he knows exactly what he's doing. He is one of the top minds in the industry, and I have mad respect for him. We're different on this. My PPR rankings, I have it McCaffrey, Tyreek, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra, Justin Jefferson, then down to Bijan. Then it's still A.J. Brown and Breece Hall. So I think the point here is I'm not going to try and speak for Mike. You know, I can tell you this. He didn't just, you know, shoot from the hip here. He has him there for a reason, and his overall values are different than mine. You're going to see that across the industry. You're going to have different, you know, different values, different places. But you bring up a really good point first and foremost. If you are drafting on a site, the site rankings are going to heavily impact the ADP. So your ADP on that site is going to be heavily impacted by, it looks like, Mike's rankings. If you know that, you can weaponize that against your opponents. You can take the rankings you're using, if they aren't Mike's, and you can see where the differences are and potentially where the value might be. Because I'll tell you, a lot of people, and this is why I don't like drafting on commissioner platforms, will do no preparation, and they will, when they're up, and they may, I'm not saying they're amateurs, I'm not saying they don't know what they're doing, but when they're up, they're going to look at their screen and they're going to take one of the guys who's on the screen. They will not scroll down. Now, they may filter by position, but they're still only taking the guys on the screen. If you know there are guys that you can scroll down and find, that's a huge advantage. So if you're using my rankings, you could compare them, and they're different than Mike's. And again, that's cool. Or whoever's rankings, maybe you take mine and modify them, or you take somebody else's and use them or whatever. That's just an important thing. So I'm not going to, you know, knock somebody else's rankings for sure, because there's no such thing as a perfect set of rankings. There's different approaches to establishing overall values, and it looks like Mike's are slightly different than mine. They're not dramatically different. Like, he has a lot of the guys in the same order. We're close on some players. Like, you know, he flip-flopped Barkley and Gibbs, it looks like, from mine, but we both have Kyren at RB7. He has Pacheco a little higher than I do, and so on. I mean, it really comes down to who you trust the most, who you use the most. But that was a good call, though, because you can definitely use that intel if you're drafting on ESPN. Like, huge intel there. Or if it's Sleeper, no Sleeper's ADP. Or if it's Yahoo, you know Yahoo's ADP, and so on. All right, if you want to call in as well, the phone number is 215-720-1708. And, of course, therantpodjr@gmail.com. Head on over to ftnfantasy.com. Use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off if you want the overall rankings that I was just talking about, or them in draft board form. All the goods over there, you can get it with that promo code and get 10% off. Also, if you want that draft board that I was talking about too, fjfantasy.com. I have no affiliation with them, but they did give me a promo code. So promo code RATCLIFFE for 10% off there. Those boards are awesome, by the way. I love them. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And that'll do it for this week, but I'm going to be back on Monday We'll dive in. We'll continue on with the preview series here. We're out of Pennsylvania. We'll head to San Francisco and Seattle on Monday's pod. Enjoy the weekend. I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.